The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness.
If you want to find this, it's Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. Righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey. On a colt, the foal of a donkey, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people of Israel." Then King Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report him to me so that I may too go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw a child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
And for the next few minutes, I want us to think about why it is that Jesus' birth was so special and what was so unique about Jesus' birth. But as we do, over 150 years ago, in 1847, something was invented. And it was invented initially to boost someone's business, and it certainly did that over time. And it's now a regular feature on Christmas Day. And so, boys and girls, you can ask your mums and dads as well, but boys and girls, any ideas what it could be? Something that was invented over 150 years ago, and it's now a regular feature of Christmas Day. Any ideas? Yeah. Christmas cards. That's a good guess, but it's not Christmas cards. Well, it might have been, but it's not the one that I'm thinking of. Gracie? Christmas crackers. Okay, Christmas crackers. So here we go. I've got three Christmas crackers here, and they were invented just over 150 years ago, and the aim was to boost the business of Tom Smith. And so his idea was, he had a sweet business and he thought, how can I make these sweets more interesting? And so he thought, well, I'll give them a fancy wrapper. And they were probably a bit more fancy than these ones that we've got here. So he thought he'd give them a fancy wrapper, and then over time they developed and changed into the Christmas crackers that we have today. Now, boys and girls, what do you normally get inside a Christmas cracker? Who can tell me one thing? Okay, one thing that you normally get inside a Christmas cracker. Yeah. A paper crown. Okay, so you normally get a crown. What else do you normally get inside a cracker? Got a crown? Yep.
A joke.
A joke? Yeah, so you get a joke. Are they good jokes? No, yeah, okay. So you get a joke, a crown, and what else do you normally get inside a cracker? Or what else do you get? Yep. Jam. Well, that's a fancy cracker if you're getting some jam inside it, okay. Well, I'm sure some crackers have jam. this business that invented crackers 150 years ago, they still supply the royal family, and so maybe they get jam in their Christmas crackers. But that's not what I'm thinking of. What do you normally get? It might be jam, but, you know, what is it? What else do you get? You've got the crown, you've got the joke. What else is inside a Christmas cracker? Yes. A toy or a gift. Okay, so you get the gift, the crown, and the joke. Now, I need a volunteer who wants to come and help me open my first Christmas cracker, okay? Who wants to come and help me open it? Yes, do you want to come out? Okay. Now, let's see. Here we go. So what do you think you might get inside? Well, we'll have a look. Okay, so here we go. Come on, pull the cracker. Pull it really hard. That's it. Well done. Okay, what have you got inside your cracker? I've got this bit. What have you got inside there? There is something inside it. It's not empty. Let's have a look, shall we? Let's see what you've got inside there. Here you go. Take these bits out. Okay. There we go. So what is this one? What's that one that you've got there? What's this one here? So we've got the joke, okay? Should we just hold it up and show everyone? Okay, here we go. We've got the joke. And what you can do is you can take this and you can ask someone this joke at the end and see if you can get anyone to laugh. Okay, so we've got the joke, all right? And what else have we got here? We've got a trivia question. And we've got some charades, so you can test your acting out and see if people can guess the charades. So we've got something, we've got the joke, we've got the trivia, and what else have we got here? Can you see that? Can you read that word? Matthew. Okay, so it says Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Thank you very much for helping me open my first cracker. You can go and sit down, and at the end, you can see if you can get anyone to laugh at the joke. Okay, but we've got in here Matthew chapter 2. It was read for us earlier, verses 4 and 5, which says, "He asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written." Now, the first thing that you get in a Christmas cracker is a joke or a trivia or charades or some kind of game, and it'll be written down on a piece of paper. And as we think about Jesus' birth and why it was so special, we see that Jesus' birth, it was something that was written down beforehand. It was written down beforehand. We read it there. As the wise men came, as they'd seen the star, and as they came to Jerusalem, and they came to the palace, and they were wondering where Jesus was to be born, the answer came, well, it's been written down beforehand. Jesus' birth is unique because his birth was written down, great detail about his birth was written down before it actually happened. And so it was written down 700 years before, as we saw in the video, that the virgin would conceive and he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. 700 years before Jesus came, it was written. It was written down that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem hundreds of years before he was. And here as the wise men go to the palace and they ask, where is he to be born? They go to those who know the Old Testament well, and they say he's going to be born in Bethlehem. It was written down beforehand. It was written down that Jesus would flee to Egypt. It was written down that he would come out of Egypt as a child. It was written down that as Jesus' birth, there would be weeping in Jerusalem as Herod ordered all of the babies under two to be killed. It was written down beforehand. Jesus' birth was predicted accurately. Why was Jesus' birth so unique? It was written down beforehand. And those who knew the Bible at the time of Jesus' birth knew they had to look in Bethlehem for the Messiah because it had been written. God had spoken beforehand. And actually, as we look at Jesus' life, it wasn't just his birth that was written down in great detail, but all of his life. In all of the Old Testament, all throughout the Old Testament, we have prophecies that speak of the Lord Jesus. that speak of his birth, that speak of his life, that speak of his death, that speak of his resurrection, all written down hundreds of years before Jesus came. Written down in great detail and written down and fulfilled as Jesus came. We're told in the Old Testament where Jesus would live. We're told what he would do. We're told how he would die even before crucifixion was invented. You see, this man, this baby, the Lord Jesus, he was no ordinary baby. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. And yet we're told of Jesus' life in great detail hundreds of years before, and all of it came to pass exactly as it was written. You see, God is sovereign over history. He knows what he's doing. He has orchestrated history to send his son, the Lord Jesus. And he came exactly at the right place, exactly at the right time. It was written down beforehand. And nothing stopped God's plan to send Jesus into the world. Now, I need someone to help me with my second cracker, okay? Who wants to help me with my second cracker? Grace, yes, you're so desperate, you can come and help me, okay? What would you like it to be? Yeah. I don't know. Okay, well, here's the second cracker. Oh, just pull the snap. Let's have the effect. There we go. Oh. Okay, what have you got inside your cracker? You got the crown. Are you going to put it on for us and see if you can manage to do it without ripping it? Gracie's got the crown. There you go. Very good. That's everything. Well, you got this as well.
It says, Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship.
Thank you. Great, Gracie, thank you for helping. You can just stick that down there somewhere. Okay, so we've got the crown. We've had the joke. We've got the crown. And we read in Matthew chapter 2 again, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And what was so unique and so special about Jesus' birth? Well, it was written down beforehand, but Jesus was born as king. He was born as king. And so we read in this account of the wise men that these wise men, they see this star. And we don't know exactly how they came to the conclusion that they did. We don't know exactly what it was that they saw in the sky. But they see this star in the sky and they associate that star with the king of the Jews being born. It's possible that they had some of the Old Testament in their hands and they'd been reading it and had understood it. Possibly, we don't know. We don't exactly know how they came to their conclusion, but their conclusion is right. As they see this star, they realize that the King of the Jews has been born. On the 21st of June 1982, someone was born. And he was born to be king, and he still anticipates being king one day. Prince William was born. And as he was born expecting to be king. But he wasn't born a king. He was born Prince William. And he's still Prince William, and he still anticipates one day being king. But here, as we see the birth of Jesus, he is not like Prince William. He's not born to be king. But he is king as he is born. He is the king right from his birth. Finn read for us from Jeremiah chapter 23. The one that was coming, the Saviour who was coming, the Messiah who was coming, was be born in the kingly line of David. He would descend from David, the great king of Israel 1,000 years before. The one who God would send would be king. And in fact, Matthew, in the first chapter of his book, has taken great effort to show us that Jesus is, he can trace his ancestry right back to David, right back to King David. He was born of the kingly line of David. Leland read for us from Zechariah. Zechariah talked about the king who was coming. And this king that would cause great rejoicing, this king who brings peace, this king who would be a good ruler, a kind ruler, a just ruler. Jesus was born as king. And as the wise men see the star again, after they've gone to the palace, and then they follow the star to Bethlehem, when they saw the star, we're told that they were overjoyed. Why? Because they're going to worship the king. And as they come to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Why do these wise men worship the king? Why do they bow down and worship? Why are they filled with great joy? Well, they've understood that Jesus, this baby who was born, was king. They worship him because he was king as he was born. He wasn't just born to be the king, he was king then. They had understood something of who this baby was. He was king. And it perhaps wasn't obvious to the world. He wasn't born in a palace, he wasn't born with a crown, he wasn't born with a throne, but God had revealed to these men that Jesus was the king, that this baby who was born in Bethlehem is king. And in fact, the Bible, all throughout the Bible, speaks of Jesus as king. Psalm 72, a psalm of David, speaks of the king who would come, the king from David's line. And it probably isn't specifically referring to the wise men, but it speaks of this king who will reign justly. It speaks of a king who will use his power for good, a king who will use his power and authority for the benefit of others. But it speaks of a king not just for Israel, but for all the nations and for all people. And it says all kings will bring tribute to him, all kings will bring gifts to him, all nations will serve him. And as Jesus is born, we see not just the king of Israel, the king of the Jews being born, but we see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who all kings will bow down and worship to. He is king. He has always been king. He's never stopped being king. He is king of this world. And so for you and for me, as we consider the birth of the Lord Jesus and what is so unique and special about him, whether we acknowledge it or not, we are under the rule of King Jesus, and he rules well, and he rules wisely, and he rules justly. He is the king that brings blessing and peace and joy for any who willingly submit to him. We are under the rule of King Jesus, whether we acknowledge it or not. But for those who submit to his rule, he brings blessing, peace, and joy. Well, let's have someone to come and help me open my third cracker, okay? I need someone to help me open my third cracker. Oh, so many of you. Let's have Sherlyn come and help me. Now, Sherlyn, you must be hopeful here because we've had the joke and we've had the crown, so you must be thinking we've got the gift to come. So let's see what we've got in here. Oh, go on, just pull the snap. Or what you think? Take your fingers further back towards the end. There you go. Oh. Well, the snap doesn't seem to be going. So, no, that's not going. Right, we'll leave that one there. That was a bit disappointing. But what have you got inside? What have you got inside the cracker? You got a sweet. You've got the gift. Okay, you've got the chocolate. And is there anything else inside there?
With his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh.
Thank you, Sherlyn. You can go and have a seat again. You've had the joke. Jesus's birth was written down beforehand. Something written in the cracker. Something written beforehand. Jesus's birth is unique. We've had the crown. Jesus was born as the king, and now we've got the gift. And originally, crackers were sweets, but they soon developed into surprise gifts to increase the novelty factor. And they're still making them today with surprise gifts inside. But as we come to the birth of the Lord Jesus and these wise men coming to see him, they present gifts to him. They come and they see him and they're overjoyed and they worship him and they present him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And we might look at these gifts and think, well, aren't these a bit of surprise gifts? These don't seem like the things that you give to a baby. And I don't know what the standard gift was for a baby in first century Palestine if you did give gifts. It's probably not the baby clothes that we give today and the toys. But these gifts seem to be surprise gifts. Why do you give a baby, a young child, gold, incense, and myrrh? But these gifts are loaded, full of significance. See, the gold, as they give the gold, it again speaks of Jesus being the king. You give gold to the king. The incense speaks of the work that Jesus will do. It speaks of Jesus as the priest. The priest would be the go-between between a holy God and sinful humanity. And Jesus, as he went to the cross, he was the go-between. He was the mediator between God and man. He would do the work of a priest. And they bring myrrh. Myrrh, something used to embalm dead bodies. It spoke that this baby was born to die. And so these wise men, as they see the Lord Jesus, they present him with their gifts. They recognize that Jesus is the king, and so they freely present him with their treasures, freely bring their gifts to him. And yet even here, as they give their gifts to this baby, as they give their gifts to the Lord Jesus, they are simply giving back to God what he has already given them. They have been blessed with wealth by God, and they're simply giving back to God what he has already given to them. As they give their gifts, they can never give more than God himself has given. And so as God has given them their treasures, they give it back to him. And as they give their gifts to this child and give them to the parents of this child, as they give their gifts, they are looking with their own eyes at the greatest gift that this world has ever seen, the greatest gift that God gave, the gift of his own son. They could never give more than God. And here we see, as Jesus is born, the gift of God's son. We're told that God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. God didn't spare his own son, but gave him to the world as the greatest gift that this world could ever see. And why would the king of the world, why would the Lord Jesus, the one who is king, the one who never stopped being king, why would he humble himself and come as a baby be given, in that sense, as a gift to this world? Why did he do it? Why did he come? And I think the answer to that is found in the wise men's question at the start. They ask at the start, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? And as you read Matthew's account, his eyewitness account of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, Matthew answers that question, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? He answers it right at the end of his gospel. Because right at the end, we see Jesus, no longer the baby, but we see Jesus, the man on the cross. And as he's being crucified on the cross, Matthew answers this question, where is the one who is born king of the Jews? And as Jesus dies on the cross, Pilate puts the sign above his head saying, this is Jesus, the king of the Jews. And so why did Jesus come into this world? Why did God give this great gift of his own son to come into this world? Well, this baby was born to die. This baby was born to die on the cross. And as Jesus dies on the cross, we see the king of this whole universe dying on the cross. And he dies on the cross not because he did anything wrong or not because he deserved to die, but he died on the cross because we do not acknowledge him as king of our lives. Every time we say, I'm going to live life myself and not acknowledge Jesus as king, every time we rebel against God, we deserve to be punished for our wrong. And yet here God gives his own son that he might take that punishment for us, that he might die on the cross, the king might die for us. We are in a perilous position because of our rebellion against God, the king of this world. And yet he sends his son, the Lord Jesus, who died to take on our sin that it might be possible for us to be right with God. He died for our sin that we might be his people, that we might come under the rule of Jesus and receive blessing from God, the forgiveness of sins, peace with God, as we willingly submit to him as king, as Lord of our lives. So why was Jesus' birth so unique? It was written down beforehand. This baby was born as the king. And yet as this baby was born, it was God giving the gift of his own son to this world that he might go to the cross and die for us, that we might be right with God.